Our colleague Andrew Beaton was in London last week.
Very good start right there.
To cover a flashy new golf event.
Right now, I'm about 20 miles or so away from the first LIV golf tournament. The golf, in some ways, felt like the carnival. You know, when the players were on the driving range, there was top 40 music blaring. There were planes flying overhead during aerial stunts. There were concerts with Jessie J lined up for after the rounds ended. On Tuesday night, they had this draft party. So, yes, this was golf, but also, as they put in one of their taglines, golf but louder.
This new tour, LIV Golf, is shaking up the sport. Not just because of its new style, but because of who funds it, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
What LIV Golf is offering, they are offering prize money and appearance fees unlike anything has ever existed in golf, backed by the immense wealth of Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund.
Because of Saudi Arabia's involvement, it isn't just about golf. Players have to answer hard questions about taking money from a country that's been widely criticized for its human rights record.
When we're talking about big political issues that Saudi Arabia has been at the center of in recent years, that's really the reason why these top pros who have committed to play for LIV Golf are facing such difficult questions about it, and also why it is the center of controversy inside the golf world.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, June 13th. Coming up on the show, how Saudi Arabian money is splitting the world of golf.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
The LIV Golf Tour has 8 events planned this year around the world, starting last week in London. And the idea of a Saudi-funded golf tour has been kicking around the kingdom for a while. Andrew says there are a few reasons why Saudi would want to get into golf.
The first that critics have noted is the idea of a country that has seen a lot of serious and important questions about its global image getting to associate itself with the sheen of sports. Golf is popular. Some of these golfers that are playing on their tour are quite popular. And perhaps they envision this type of global halo effect that they might get from associating something with something that's new and cool and fun. The second is maybe they see it as a money-making opportunity. There is this chance that LIV Golf totally takes off.
It isn't easy to start basically a new sports league from scratch. So LIV is offering a lot of money.
This tournament alone has $25 million in prize money. The first place finisher gets $4 million. The guy who even finishes in last gets $120,000. That's in addition to prize money for the teams involved because there's a new team format, in addition to the reportedly lucrative appearance fees, guaranteed money on top of that.
That kind of money is more than golfers usually get on the biggest golf circuit, the almost 100-year-old PGA Tour.
The PGA Tour is the premier touring body of pro golf. It is where the best players play. It is what the NBA or Major League Baseball are to basketball and baseball. You know, this is where the best players play, if you want to call it a league, quote unquote. Maybe it's a way to think of it that way. But this is where the best players belong, where they try to gain membership through the strength of their play. And it is where you go and where you want to play if you want to be one of the best golfers in the world.
For golfers who are members, the PGA Tour has a lot of prestige, but it is also grueling. There are events nearly every weekend, and the big prize money is only for the very best. So many players have to hustle. Andrew says he knows some players who pay out of pocket for Airbnbs.
You know, the first place player gets money, the fifth place player gets less money, and so on. You go to a tournament on a given weekend, and there's probably millions of dollars in prize money. And there aren't quite guarantees of big paydays. You know, if you play poorly and get cut from the tournament halfway through, then you're a little bit out in the cold. But winning tournaments gets you the most lucrative paychecks, and that has been the standard on tour.
So LIV Golf's promise of lots of cash and fewer tournaments was appealing to some players. But the PGA has made clear it was not okay with its golfers participating in both tours. Andrew says that's because the PGA sees LIV Golf as a competitor.
LIV Golf has essentially created two warring factions inside the sport, one of whom is a traditional power that has a lot of legacy, a lot of cultural cachet from decades of building relationships with cities where the tournaments are hosted, with fans, so many iconic moments that golf fans can think of and recollect. And on the other side is what amounts to a startup that's offering money to poach players when the PGA Tour has said, no, you can't play on both of these tours at once. If you go play on LIV Golf, we're done with you. The golfers have to pick sides, and they are picking sides.
This conflict was brought to the forefront back in February when comments came out by one of the world's most famous golfers, Phil Mickelson.
What happened is golf journalist Alan Shipnuck published comments by Phil Mickelson in which Mickelson laid bare the tension behind this operation. In those remarks, Phil Mickelson said the Saudis were scary. He said that he understood what happened to Jamal Khashoggi, the journalist who was killed, was terrible. He referenced the country's treatment of gay people. Yet, he said he'd be willing to do business with the Saudis anyway because of his issues with the PGA Tour. And that really struck a sensitive spot for a lot of people because he sort of blew out into the open this idea that, yes, it's going to raise a lot of eyebrows and make a lot of stomachs churn doing business with the Saudis, but he was willing to consider it anyway.
The Saudi government has not responded to Mickelson's comments specifically. It has said the killing of Khashoggi wasn't planned and happened in the heat of the moment. The kingdom put 11 men on trial and 8 were convicted and sentenced. Under Saudi Arabian law, homosexuality is a criminal offense and can be punishable by death. Mickelson's comments drew outcry for comparing the PGA Tour to human rights abuses in Saudi Arabia. Mickelson apologized, but many of his sponsors cut ties with him, and he stopped showing up on the PGA Tour.
For Mickelson, there were extraordinary personal consequences. Somebody who had been not just a golf superstar, but a marketing superstar, had lost his sponsors, and he basically for months went into golf exile.
And other golfers came out and picked sides. The money of LIV Golf or the prestige of the PGA.
Phil Mickelson's comments in February were so divisive that the top players in professional golf en masse had to essentially rebuke them. They had to all basically come out and say, I'm committing to the PGA Tour.
From legendary players like Tiger Woods to current popular champions like Dustin Johnson, the world's best talents said they were sticking with the PGA. Players started to think LIV Golf wouldn't survive.
Rory McIlroy in February, after the sharp backlash to Phil Mickelson's comments, basically said, this thing is dead in the water.
I mean, like, who's left? Who's left to go? I mean, there's no one. It's dead in the water, in my opinion. And yeah, I just can't see any reason why anyone would go.
And so, to a lot of people, it really did seem dead. What is an upstart golf tour if none of the good or recognizable players are ultimately playing in it.
Coming up, how LIV Golf comes back.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Even without the support of top players, LIV Golf powered on.
It seemed dead in the water, but it was not dead in the water to the people at LIV Golf. As time slowly passed and we got closer to the first event, some players had flagged an interest and seemed to indicate, you know, this is still something that intrigues me. You know, the firestorm around Mickelson's comments began to fade. And as we got closer to the event, it was starting to become clearer and clearer that, yes, some players were going to defect and play despite the PGA Tour's stern warning that they would be punished.
Some of the players that decided to take the risk and join LIV were not the biggest names in golf.
Many of them were people who had been very successful golfers and were towards the end of their playing days. And so they had some cultural name recognition, but probably weren't making that much money, or at least as much as they used to. And so it sort of made sense for that type of golfer to go because they could go and collect a big payday when they might not have been.
And then last month, LIV Golf released the roster for its London debut.
The week before the tournament, they announced most of the field, the 42 of the 48 golfers. And that included a bombshell, and his name was Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson, one of the biggest names in golf right now. He's won 2 majors and 6 world golf championships. Johnson was joining LIV, and as part of that, he said he was quitting the PGA, which had rejected requests by its members to play for LIV.
You know, this is something that I thought was best for me and my family, and, I'm very excited about playing, and obviously, you know, this is the first week, and, you know, it's just, yeah, something exciting, it's something new, and, I think it's great for the game of golf, and so...
Dustin Johnson was one of the many top pros who had said no to LIV Golf, seemingly, in February. He had said in a statement that he was fully committed to the PGA Tour. So first of all, it was a surprise. Second of all, he is one of the biggest draws in golf. He's one of the best players in professional golf. And he's also still in his prime. He's somebody who's still in contention to win major championships and tournaments on the PGA Tour. So the fact that he committed to LIV Golf nonetheless was a stunner.
But that wasn't the only stunner coming. Last week, another huge name from the PGA Tour decided to sign up and play for LIV Golf.
On the Monday, before the first tournament, came yet another bombshell. Phil Mickelson was included in the field.
Mickelson reportedly signed a $200 million contract to join LIV. When asked, he declined to comment on the amount.
Then on Wednesday, Phil Mickelson hosts his press conference, and he was peppered with questions over and over again about what he said, what he's really sorry for, and if he said it and acknowledges these seeming human rights issues, why he would still play on LIV Golf anyway.
And I'm excited about this opportunity. That's why I'm here.
But isn't there a danger that you're also being seen as a tool of sports washing, an attempt to try and improve the image of a human rights abusing regime through sport, and that ultimately you could be seen as a Saudi stooge and that could tarnish your legacy? Is that you comfortable with that?
I said earlier, I don't condone human rights violations. I don't know how I can be any more clear. I understand your question. But again, I love this game of golf.
You had other players who were straight up asked, would you play for Vladimir Putin if they offered enough money? Would you play in apartheid South Africa? These are the types of piercing questions that were being asked to the players, because there had never been a moment quite like this in professional golf, and the source of the money that they're taking is quite controversial to many.
And how did the players handle these questions?
From a number of the players, it was a general tone of, I don't condone human rights violations, but... And then came the but. And there was a lot of justifications that players used and when they explained why they were joining LIV Golf. Some talked about the format being exciting to them. Some explained that it's a business decision and that, you know, golf is a sport to fans. And there were various answers, and a lot of them boiled down to, yes, this tournament, this tour is offering us a lot of money.
When asked about sports washing at the LIV Golf tournament, the head of the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund dismissed the question and walked away.
Can I just ask you very quickly about the suggestions of sports washing? What do you say to that? What's your response?
I'm really not sure about this terminology.
There are big players sticking with the PGA. Tiger Woods is staying in. So is McIlroy. Here he is commenting on the schism in golf last week.
Any decision that you make in your life that's purely for money usually doesn't end up going the right way. Obviously, money is a deciding factor in a lot of things in this world, but if it's purely for money, it's not. It never seems to go the way you want it to.
And last Thursday, when the LIV Tour officially opened,
the golfers teed off at about 2:15 local time, and within minutes, a memo had been issued to PGA Tour players saying the 17 PGA Tour members who participated in this are being suspended. And it laid bare that players will not be permitted in any way to double dip and both play for in these LIV Golf events and then return to play on the PGA Tour.
That includes Mickelson.
And that sort of sets the stage for different types of battles down the road as players might look to appeal their suspensions. One player today, Ian Poulter, even indicated that it's possible they take this to court.
In response to the PGA suspensions, the LIV Tour said, quote, the era of free agency is beginning. So this weekend, there were two big golf tournaments, LIV in London and the PGA's Canadian Open. The winner of LIV was South African golfer Charles Schwartzel.
$4 million for Charles Schwartzel, who has been magnificent here in Hertfordshire.
Over at the Canadian Open, the winner was McIlroy. His prize was $1.6 million, almost $2.5 million less than LIV's top prize money. And the disparity in prize money between the two tours goes down through the rankings.
I think what's really fascinating to golf fans about this moment is we're not quite sure what golf will look like in 2 years, in 5 years, because of this. We can all look at upstart leagues that have started and failed before. But might this one be different? Might this one successfully challenge and rival the PGA Tour? I think that's one of the intense fascinations with the moment that we're living in golf, because in a place where there's been a lot of certainty and where things have remained the same, there's a chance that they're really not.
That's all for today, Monday, June 13th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.